Hey, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you. I'm just going to share an introduction this morning and pray for the offering. If I forget to pray for the offering, remind me, okay? Because it's very possible that that could happen. Thank you, Rainey. That, a little bit later, if you could just... So I'm going to just take this opportunity to bring everybody up to date because... I know it's, you know, my heart attack and coming back and then going off staff and then we don't know where we're going. That's still the case, but we do know that on February 2nd we go back to Budapest. We'll be there for 4 months, be just involved in body life there, of course, receive everyone who's coming to Eurocon. We'll be there on that side waiting for you, and also GGIS will be accredited in April. So we'll be there for the accreditation process and see what God does with the rest of our lives if he doesn't come back, which seems very imminent at this point. So, believers that really know the Lord know that they are going without knowing. Right? Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to be. It's a figment of our imagination to believe that we do. So we're all in the same boat. So Pastor Schaller on Wednesday was talking about, he was talking about meditation, ended up talking about meditation, Psalm 139:17, that how precious are your thoughts towards me, O Lord, great is the sum of them, right? And that's how to have a spirit-filled revival at the tree of life, is to be listening to what God says about us. And the sum of them is huge. And of course, you can have a flesh revival also, and the old sin nature will referee that revival. And at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where you can go to self-destruction, self-exaltation, proud, and you could have a flesh revival. But meditation is an amazing thing. That's what I want to talk about for just these few minutes. In Psalm chapter 1, you could go there. I'm not sure if Peshaler started at Psalm 1 or he got there at some point in the message. And so Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. You could say, well, why didn't he use the positive? He's being kind of negative, you know. Why didn't he say, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the godly, stands in the way of holy people, etc. If he said, blessed is the man who walks... In walks in the way of the godly, that man could also walk in the way of the ungodly. Right? It doesn't eliminate all the other possibilities, but he gives the negative to make only godliness the possibility. In verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Okay, this is the... So we see that God has uses this metaphor in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Okay, so there's a door, right? The door leads to prosperity. The door leads to peace. The door leads to joy, to gladness. The door leads also to fruitfulness, that we don't wither, that we are healthy. The door is meditation. Okay, that door is meditation. The meditation plants a person by the river. Okay, so it means that meditation is something that God has designed for every believer to enjoy. It's a beautiful thing, meditation. We know Psalm 19:14, Finnish Work Singers used to sing it. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, Yeah, what a beautiful song. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord. And actually, it's the meditation that produces the words. If our words are messed up, then check out your meditation. Because where your meditation is, that's where your heart is. What are you thinking about all the time? The word meditation is to chew the cud. Pastor Matt Vieter used to have this periodical called Chewing the Cud. And it was quotes from different pastors that had done during their messages. And it was a reminder of what they had said so that we could think about it again. And that's actually what meditation is. It's the regurgitation and then chewing again the same thing that you ate before. I want to introduce the idea of the subconscious mind because I think it's an important one. So when you think about meditation, from my meditation over the last few hours, it's amazing when you're asked if you'd like to give an introduction how that disturbs your sleep patterns. If the Word of God, if you would keep it, it says the Scripture says that it will lead you along the way. It will keep you in the night season, and it will talk to you when you wake up. Well, the Word of God definitely kept me in the night season. It kept me awake, and I normally sleep very well. Anyway, so the conscious mind, the subconscious mind, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Okay, I want you, those are the 4 points. Now, we do this very quickly because this is an introduction. Okay, so the conscious mind, what is the conscious mind? It's the mind that is audible to me. I can hear it. It's the person you speak to all day, right? You are talking in your conscious mind. A conscious mind's sleep. That's what unconsciousness is. Is your conscious mind no longer being conscious? Conscious are things that consciousness means that you are aware of it, okay? The subconscious mind, on the other hand, doesn't think. It stores information, and the stored information can be thoughts, but it itself doesn't teach. It's like a hard drive in us, and things are written on that hard drive come based upon the impact it has on our life. And those three major things are repetition, which teachers know very well, but also trauma and also emotion, things that are very emotional, things that have a big impact on us. We tend to remember them. The subconscious mind, we know, doesn't sleep. Okay, so that's why we can be troubled. Insomnia, like insomnia, I wake myself up and I cannot sleep. My subconscious mind can torment me. Our subconscious mind is completely, by the age of 10, our subconscious mind has formed our personality, our reaction matrix, our disposition. Much of us is formed, and the reactions that we're going to have to life are set by the time we're 10 years old because of the subconscious mind and the things that are stored there. So we are affected by our subconscious mind a lot. Okay, but when a person gets saved, there's another process, and the process happens through meditation. That the subconscious mind, that God can infuse and write His Word on the tablets of our hearts, and that Word can become available to us, not only to guide us in the do's and don'ts, but generally to give us a sense of purpose and value that only God can give us. Okay, so the conscious mind, and then we have the subconscious mind, which is below my knowable level, right? I can't know it. I only kind of sense it because of the burps that come into my conscious mind from it. I could feel like I hate myself. I could become angry. I could become depressed. I could become elated, and I don't even know why. And it's stuff coming up from my subconscious mind. Okay, but then we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the main actor in a Christian life. Okay, the Holy Spirit, you could say the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:10, that the Holy Spirit is like God's consciousness. It's what God knows. It's what God is thinking about. And the Holy Spirit takes the deep things of God in 1 Corinthians 2:10, and he reveals them to us through the Spirit. Okay, so when we are born again, we have a capacity to know the very thoughts of God about us, and that those thoughts could become the fabric of our new man, a new resource for life and thinking, which is why so many believers change completely when they get saved and start walking with Christ, that the bombastic, choleric Peter can become this pastor, this man of God, through the operation of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. So Paul uses this metaphor also in Ephesians chapter 3, and he says in his prayer, and why does he pray for these things? He prays for these things because they don't happen naturally. Okay, spiritual life is not a psychological process. It's not a natural phenomenon of psychological processes. The destruction of your soul by sin and all that happened as a consequence happens, and all of us have been affected by it. Someone, I think it was Pastor maybe, once said that every believer is delivered to the doorstep of Jesus damaged. And Jesus accepts them all, right? That's just the way it is. We're kind of messed up, okay? Did anybody notice that? And if you happen to be having a good day, then you get to judge all those that aren't. But your day will come. Okay, so, but there is a thing called fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at this process. So Paul's prayer that only can happen through the operation of the Holy Spirit. It can only happen to a believer. And he prays that Jesus Christ would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, in verse 16 of chapter 3, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit strengthens our inner man. You can think of it like this. The outer man has, the soul does, but the inner man is. The inner man is my being. It's who I am. The Holy Spirit is going to strengthen that person and say, you know what? You were worth redeeming. It doesn't make any sense. We would say no, no, no. But God said yes, yes, yes. You are loved. You have been died for. You have become the object of his love, and that is the Holy Spirit strengthening who you are, because our upbringing doesn't tell us that. Depending on who you are, and praise God for Christian parents that infuse Christ's mind into their children, because it's a gift to those children. But many children don't get that. They get, you are worthless, you are nothing, you are meaningless, you have no value. I wish you were never born, you're the reason for all my troubles. And what that does to us is create in us a great deficit. But the Holy Spirit of God, through what Christ has done, infuses life and strength into our inner man. Okay, moving along. And then verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. There's the metaphor, rooted in love. So meditation, because I'm going to end up going too long here. Meditation is a cooperation. It's a cooperation between us, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we know in John 14:26, is going to take the things that we've been taught, and he's going to bring them to remembrance. Okay? Bible college is so amazing because it gives our subconscious, the subconscious becomes charged with God's word, like mass quantities of it. I was in the master's class this week. It's life-changing. To go to Bible college every single day is life-changing. You can't help it because it's God's word coming into your soul, and when you mix faith with it in Hebrews 4:2, it transforms it and converts it into your subconscious mind and becomes a substance that you can live with. It builds a foundation from which you can jump off of and build upon. And meditation is how that gets built. We know that we forget so quickly. Students and teachers both know that cramming is like a very bad way of educating anyone. It does work because you can pass a test that's going to be in 10 minutes by cramming now. But 20 minutes after the test, there's nothing left. Meditation gets it from the short term to the long term. But not only through memorization, but through the process of the Holy Spirit. That he works along with the Word of God and begins to change who I am. It's called in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, renewing of the mind. Be not conformed to this world through the outward, but be transformed through what God has put on the inside of your heart by the renewing of your mind. And this releases our soul, our thinking and our feeling, our volition. It releases them to serve a living God in fellowship with Him. So, the psalmist cried out in Psalm 119, 97, "Oh, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Wow. If you haven't signed up for Bible college, if you haven't been to Bible college, go to Bible college. Why wouldn't you? I think we calculated it would take 39 years of going to church once a week to get the same amount of information as you would get in the Bible college class. 39 years, by that time, you're too old to even need it. You need the wisdom when you're young. Doesn't mean if you're older, you don't go to Bible college, because you can always catch up. So finally, the Pastor Stevens used to always tell us that Paul loved being alone, whether it was in prison or wherever he was, because he loved his mind. He loved the meditations of his heart. He loved what came up. Leave me alone and I can just sing a song, Colossians chapter 3, that when the Word of God takes its home in our soul, it produces songs, melodies, psalms to one another, edification. It just starts bubbling because of meditation. It's the consequence of it. So, yes, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. What a privilege it is that God gave us His Word, but not only did He give us the written Word, He gave us the living Word, Jesus Christ, and then He gave His present living mind to bring this living Word into our lives in the here and now. And it becomes this amazing resource for us, a well. There is a river. There is a stream. There is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God. Yes, thank you. Lord, thank you for the meditations of our heart. It's impossible without you, Lord. Thank you for the healing you do in our subconscious mind, that we are no longer what we're told we are, but we listen to what your thoughts are about us. They are beautiful thoughts. The sum of them is without number. Lord, we want to fellowship and meditate on those thoughts. And may we do so as we now give in the offering. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Great. Say amen. Mm. Amen. Huh? Amen. What a good message from Pastor Brian. That was awesome. That was really good. That's what we want to speak about this morning is attitude. And we will do that in a few minutes. Tina, I just see Tina here from Finland. Great. She's been a missionary in Turkey for how many years? 6 years. And now she's here and for a period of time. And good to have you. Should I tell everybody what you're thinking about? Okay. She is thinking about getting married. Yes, to Pastor Selwyn, who's standing right next to her. So that's like... you know, news. Really, news. Wow, great news. I'm going to give you a little diagram, and you're going to talk to your neighbor about it for a minute, because it has to do with Pastor Brian's message. And not to add to his message in any way, but just to help us think, because it'll relate. If I'm standing in water, like this is the water, and I'm standing in it, and I see here a rock with some fish here, I can see it, okay? I can see in the water, you know, all what that is like. It's not that deep. This is my conscious mind. Then there's like a level with subconscious. Was that it? Or was it the unconscious, right? Was it sub? The deepest is the... Okay, he combined. There is a part of your mind, we can put unconscious here, that comes and goes out of your conscious. And then deep down where you don't know the deepest part, where you don't see it. Like this is one way of looking at how our mind is operating. I saw way deep inside, deep down in our mind. We cannot see it. We do not even know what is there. Then there is that part of the mind where it does surface, and we do speak from our past, maybe wounds or happinesses or orientation. And then and what he said was so good, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, really goes deep. You know, the depth of man is really in connection with the depths of God. The depth of God connects with the depths of man. And this is our new man, who we really are now. And then our meditation derived from the Holy Spirit. This is powerful. This is bigger than the wounds of my past or even my past life as a sinful person. It's over. I mean, it's there, but there is something more that is going on. And this is the Holy Spirit bringing to our heart and our spirit communion with the thoughts of God. Wow. Communion with the thoughts of God. Isn't that amazing? Martin Luther King Jr. Was a leader in our country years ago. As you know, and tomorrow is a holiday celebrating his efforts and his work in our country. We'll talk about it in a minute. But he was relying upon, in his movement, not violence, but he was relying upon people having a spiritual life and getting in their conviction, in their heart, the understanding that by love we can change things. If you go to jail, if you're demonstrating and you have civil rights to do so, and you're demonstrating nonviolently, then you go to jail and you are not violent. If somebody mistreats you and hits you in one cheek, you turn the other one. How can you do it? And he said, purification. This was his word that he used. Purification. I want to say something about it this morning. But before I carry on here and do that, would you just, with your neighbor, say something from the Lord, from your heart, from his message to your neighbor. Okay, would you stand with me, please, and read the Word of God, Malachi chapter 3. And the purpose of our message Wednesday night was to stir us in meditation and thinking with God and understanding. I can have a revival in my flesh. We taught three ways. We shared it in Russia when we were there a week ago and had an amazing time. By the way, Pastor Teplov is on his way here in a day or two, and he's going to be with us. We want to really thank Pastor Stan Collins, all the visiting pastors that came for the intensified. It was an amazing week. It really was an amazing week. Now, I want you to see something about trauma a little bit. We will talk a little bit about it. There's a lot to cover. I don't want to be long because I want to do again tonight in the message in a little more detail about Martin Luther King's An Open Letter from a Birmingham Jail, which is an excellent read if you want to Google it and read that letter. And you can see in the letter that he's looking to God as the resource for his demonstration of the unjust laws that many times are in the South and different parts of the country that were racially charged, unjust laws. And he saw it that way, wrote about it, and then he motivated people to act, but not act violently, but act to speak to the conscience of people. Now, this is important, that as Pastor Brian said, we have a resource, and the resource is God, the Holy Spirit, and love. Love changes things. Love will help you in your trauma. If you have found yourself, I'm getting ahead of myself, read Malachi 3 in verse 13. Out loud with me, and then I'll have you sit down. 13 to 16. Ready? Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Okay. Your words, the Lord is saying, your words have been stout against me. What? What have we said against you? What? This is seven times in this epistle or prophetic book. What? The Lord would say, you have done like so. And they go, what? You? What do you mean? Okay, this is their blindness. They don't know they're wrong, but they're wrong. Your words have been stout against me. Verse 14. You have said, it is vain to serve God. You got messed up. You said, it's vain to serve God. I go to the church, I read my Bible, I say prayers, I follow the Lord. What have I got as a result? I say, it doesn't mean anything. That's what the Lord is saying about these people. They are thinking this way and saying it. Wow. Verse 14. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? All right, together, verse 15. Now we call the proud happy. Now we call the proud people happy. Look how happy they are. Say to your neighbor, now we call the proud happy. Say it like that. Now we call the proud people happy. They are proud and happy. Look at that. And even you are envious that they are so happy and proud and doing very nicely. What about me? I got nothing. I got poverty. I got trouble, confusion, disappointment, discouragement. Now notice, from the same person, these thoughts. So here, we'll draw it like this. Here's the person. They say, it is vain to serve God. Doesn't mean anything. And then they say at the same time, the proud people, oh, look at, they own NFL football teams. They are happy. They are leaders and wealthy people, and they have their houses and cars and connections. They are happy. Look at me. What have I got? Nothing. Nothing. The Lord hears this. He hears everything. Look at verse 15. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. They tempt God, they're delivered, they're set up, everything is amazing. Then they that feared the Lord, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Let's write it this way. Then they, the same person, we can say, he changes, fears God, thinks about him, talks, speaks often. It's written in the book. He changed. He saw, he got it, he understood. And he doesn't do this one on this side over here. And he doesn't think this way anymore, this one. He has doctrine. The Spirit is teaching him. He has it. He understands it. Okay, you may be seated. Some of you may know this, but when Martin Luther King wrote in his letter to the city officials as he sat in a jail for a period of time, and he explained to them why they were doing what they were doing and what the purpose of it was, and he has depth in the letter. He understands very well. And then when he motivated people in the nonviolent campaign, he said there were four basic steps. Number one, collect facts to determine whether injustices exist. Number two, negotiation. Try to change things by talking. Number three, self-purification. This is the part that I think is important. And then number four, direct action, which was to go to the street, demonstrate, go to jail, be abused, spit upon, dogs, police, etc. By the way, this was in the 63. We are at a different time in our history. We made a lot of progress, as we know. And I'm totally behind supporting the police, so totally behind justice and righteousness. I'm totally behind the training of people in the right way to understand, to protect property and to guarantee our freedoms and rights and transfer of goods and business. So there's no question about that. But there was also a time when things needed to be done. There needed to be action. And this word self-purification, basically it was that people, if they were going to demonstrate, they needed to know that they were not going to do it out of hate. They were to do it out of love. They needed to know that if they were going to make a statement, they would not fight, draw blood, get into fistfights, burn cars or start buildings on fire, but self-purification. There needed to be a spiritual element in the mind, in the heart of a person that is facing an injustice. There needs to be another way, a way that is God, spiritual. Pastor Brian said it very well, that if the Spirit of God builds in me, not inferiority, but the Spirit of God builds in me the understanding of who I am, my character, my nature, and if the Word of God is teaching me who I am, this is very valuable, very important, and very powerful. If you look up at the screen here, just to make the point, this person at one time could say, it's vain to serve God. But we say that is absolutely the error of the human nature. The error, not realizing and understanding what it means to know God, to fear God, to listen to God, and have this book go deep in our spirit and actually change us and affect us. We see it with Christ when he came and he said, and how he lived and how he thought and how he meditated and related to the Father all the time and put the Father first. But he also warned us that this diagram happens, that you go this way, it's vain to serve God, and the twin of that is that the unsaved are happy people. Unsaved are doing very well, or they are saved, but they are proud or in the flesh or don't care about God. They don't talk often one another about this living Christ that the Holy Spirit shows us who he is. Amazing. Well, here are some words on meditation, and then I'll read it. Few stories to you. My mouth will speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Oh, it was so sweet this week to sit in the masters and listen to the doctrine, and Pastor Toll and everyone that was there. They did such a great job, and I enjoyed it because I wasn't doing the speaking. That was a great blessing. And I enjoyed listening and being there. My meditation shall be of understanding. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Pastor Lange mentioned a restless night last night. I did too. I had one of those too. I couldn't sleep so well. And a little anxiety about this morning, a little bit. And then I've learned to be quiet, quiet my soul. Trust God. Listen to what the Spirit wants to say. And I believe what we're saying today is what he once said. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night. The mind is powerful. What are we going to put in it? How are we going to process our world, our trauma? Orville Kelly, and was informed 2 years ago that he had terminal cancer. He and his wife went home to cry. To die. Should they keep it a secret? They prayed. The answer was that they should play about it. So they decided to give a big party. They'd invited all their friends. During the festivities, Orville held up his hand to make an announcement. You may have wondered why I called you all together. This is a cancer party. I have been told I have terminal cancer. Then my wife and I realized we are all terminal. We decided to start a new organization. It's called the MTC, Make Today Count. You are all charter members. Since that time, the organization has grown across the country. Orville has been too busy to die. Pointing out the way we Christians are to play into the jaws of death, singing, loving, not losing a minute from the joy the world cannot give nor take away. Could it be that when they sought God on their problem, could it be that when they went before God and God the Spirit put in their spirit this mind of faith and say, well, maybe I die, but why don't I go out talking to people the best I can or sharing? Viktor Frankl, the Jew, a Holocaust survivor, was more than 3 years in a camp, concentration camp, and several months in Auschwitz. He wrote, the experiences of camp life show that man does have a choice of action. There were enough examples, often heroic, they proved that apathy could be overcome, irritability suppressed. Man can preserve a vestige of spiritual freedom and independence of mind, even in such terrible conditions of psychic and physical distress. We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. I say this to say our attitude toward God is a choice. I can choose. And to fear God is to bring him in and to say, I don't like it. I'm in trouble, but I believe you are the answer. I trust you. These people that think often and talk often one to another. God says it is so amazing, so valuable that I'll write it in a book of remembrance. It'll not pass away. What you say to each other is valuable. What is communicated to you by the Holy Spirit deep in your spirit and in your heart, you found another way. And you don't say it was vain to serve God. You actually say, maybe that was vain to serve God that way. That was Phariseeism or legalism or depression of some kind. But I have found a way to follow God that has made my spirit move and for me to meditate and think in terms of truth and find it. I heard in Ravi Zacharias's podcast, terrible story about a young medical student in India and his wife. They were both wanting a professional life, and she got pregnant, and it wasn't in the plan, and he was a Christian. They were both Christians, and he was against abortion, and he was even public about it and said, we cannot get an abortion But we cannot have the child. This is what the woman was saying, the mother. But we cannot have the child. It's not the time. We cannot do it. He said, we cannot go anywhere to abort the baby. There's nothing we can do about it. And somehow they came to the conclusion that he could do it. So he got some medicine, whatever kind it was, and for whatever reason. And he gave her an injection. And in their home, she died in the bed. He called his pastor sobbing. And he's out of his mind. He said, please come over. Please come over. I think I just killed my wife. The pastor hung up the phone. He was a friend of Ravi Zacharias, who told the story to. Hung up the phone. He went over there. And the man's life was devastated. Trauma. What could we do in a situation that is beyond our ability to manage the pain and the trouble? Well, remember this message this morning, what we heard. Pastor Brian said it. God is able. God goes to the deep part of a man. And when you say the words, all things work together for good, when you're sitting there sobbing next to the body of your wife, and you did it, and how much regret and pain there is, and all you can say, okay, all things work together for good. Yeah, all things work. Yeah, I know the Bible verse. You see what I'm saying up here on the chart? There's one way, and there is healing. There is an answer. There is God. But on the surface of things, I go this way. It's vain to serve God. The proud are happy. What do I have? I'm unhappy with what I have. I haven't found my way. And God is saying, oh, no, there is a way. I am God. I may not be packaged the way you want me to be packaged, but I am God, and I show up. I'm an ever-present help in every time of need. Trust me. I know, Lord, we should trust you, but, and I know when I'm speaking, I understand. There was New York City ran an advertisement in New York newspapers for people that would like to take their first journey to another planet. Within a matter of days, 18,000 people applied. These applications were given to a panel of psychologists who, upon reviewing them, concluded most of those people wanted to start a new life on another planet because they were so discouraged by life on this one. Of course. But you know, our answer isn't to go to another planet. Our answer is to go to God. But you don't want to go to God. You rather backslide. You don't want to go to God. You got something else going on. You don't want to go to God. You live on the surface of things and find yourself disappointed or traumatized by the trauma that we can have in this world and in life. I know. Well, what we're saying is amazing. But listen to this. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I will meditate in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I received a unique phone call the other day. Rarely do I ever get these kind. Another brother was in this church 30 years. He called me up from another state. Yeah, I haven't heard from him for 10 years. He called me up and he said, Pastor Schaller, I am calling you to repent. I'm calling you to say, when I left Baltimore 10 years ago, I had a bad attitude. I'm calling you to say, I'm turning. I want Christ in my life in a very rich way. And I feel God is leading me to call you and to say, I'm sorry for my attitude and how I left Baltimore 10 years ago. We wept on the phone a little bit. You know, we talked. We're good friends anyway, because I've always felt that way, and I've been an important part of his life through the years. But I haven't heard him for 10 years, and I think that's a great thing to do. It's like the middle road on this screen. I want to fear God. I want to remember these years. How does it go here? I will delight myself. I remember your works. We talked about the past, and that was one of the things that prompted him. He said, I've raised my family. My kids are gone. I started a business. Everything was there, and then I didn't want to live anymore. He was saying, but then I remembered the years when I was following God. I remembered what it was like to gather together. Like some of us talk about Lennox in the old days, but we only talk about it not as if we would like it to return in that sense, but we talk about it because it is sacred. God visited us. God led us in a unique way of life that I have never regretted. Where our meditation is right here in the Bible, a lot of Bible. Not like reading the Bible like this way, like, oh, I need to read the Bible. Say, what should I read? Okay, all right, okay, read a verse or two, close it, and that's it. No, the teaching of the Bible, the verses coming together, the presence of God in the ministry of the Bible. The fellowship in the Bible, the response of the Bible to the Bible, the faith mixed with it. Then, like Wednesday night after the service, there was a buzz in the room about the message, because when the Spirit gives a message and it resonates in our inner man, and we go, oh yeah, and what about this, and what about that? There's a buzz, a resonating in the heart. And this is how we are living this unique way. The world of psychology, and I'm thankful for it. I don't have any fight with it. But I would like to say, if it is too much, it replaces God. It replaces the church. The Bible replaces psychology books or philosophy books. The Bible is replaced by the psychologist, and the priestcraft of the whole world there can be a man, my guru or my teacher. And I want to say I understand there's a place, but there is something else for us. And that is the deep healing. When the deep calls to the deep, he said here, my hands will I lift up unto your commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. I remembered your name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept your law. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. but I will meditate in your precepts. Oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for they are testimonies, for thy testimonies are my meditation. My eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in your word. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Wow. Okay, we're finishing up here. Do you know what can happen? I eat it, meditate on it, think about it. I chew on it. It becomes like an authority in my soul. You find you have wisdom given to you from the Word. You're at work. You're able to give a piece of advice and kind of rings with people. Wow, that's amazing. That they don't say it maybe, but it's wisdom. And you live like that in your family or in your church, and you realize, oh no, the up here in the diagram, it is vain to serve. Oh no. It is my very root. It is my life. It is my new identity. It is who I really am. It is my new nature. It is my privilege. And even I can change and affect my neighborhood and the people around. And in the case of Martin Luther King, it was appealing to the people that were walking and working with him to speak to the consciences of people and do it not based on our flesh, but based on a higher principle. And that is love. Love can win. Love can save. Love can speak to people. Love can change a heart. Love builds me up. Love affects my words. Love affects my whole life. Okay, amen. I want to play a 2-minute clip from Martin Luther King this morning on love. So would you play that, please, before we have a prayer to close?
That is a little tree planted on a little hill, and on that tree hangs the most influential character that ever came in this world. Never feel that that tree is a meaningless drama that took place on the stages of history. Oh no, it is a telescope through which we look out into the long vista of eternity. See the love of God breaking forth into time. It is an eternal reminder to a power-drunk generation that love is on the way. It is an eternal reminder to a generation depending on nuclear and atomic energy, a generation depending on physical violence, that love is the only creative, redemptive, transforming power in the universe. So this morning, as I look into your eyes, and into the eyes of all my brothers in Alabama and all over America and over the world, I say to you, I love you. I would rather die than hate you. And I'm foolish enough to believe that through the power of this love somewhere, men of the most recalcitrant bent will be transformed. And then we will be in God's kingdom. We will be able to matriculate into the university of eternal life because we had the power to love our enemies, to bless those persons who cursed us, to even decide to be good to those persons who hated us, and we even prayed for those persons who despitefully used us. Oh God, help us in our lives and in all of our attitudes to work out this controlling force to love and this controlling power that can solve every problem that we confront in all areas. Let us join together in a great fellowship of love and bow down at the feet of Jesus. Give us this strong determination In the name and spirit of this Christ we pray. Amen.
Okay, would you pray with me, please? We want to give you the opportunity to accept Christ this morning. In these words, it's the only way, it's the real way, the fear of God, the beginning of our new life, trusting Him. You don't know how you can live your life. You don't know how it can happen unless and until you, when you accept Christ, you find the real way. All other ways are endless. They have all ways end up in destruction. All ways have their end in your humanity, and then a judgment and eternity, being lost, passing into eternity, being lost without God forever. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to say to Jesus Christ, I need you, I trust you, I ask you into my heart, save me, take my sin away, give me this gift of eternal life, I pray in Jesus' name. Would you accept Him this morning? Raise your hand, please. Accept Him. Anyone? Yes, we have a hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Beautiful. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Thank you for these thoughts this morning and then tonight gathering again. And you know, bless the coffee time now, the fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And these thoughts in our hearts, in Christ's name, amen.